Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
Listen to both sides.
The bottom line is,
I respect that we don't agree.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Just to find a voice.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
I don't know how to put this.
Mark Cox.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, it adds excitement, doesn't it, folks?
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
And if the filibuster gets in the way, it provides an exception.
Ending the filibuster is a very dangerous thing to do.
Not just by the rest of the West, but by the rest of the world.
We don't want climate change addressed.
This is a win at first blush for the Biden administration.
I am pleased to welcome Justice Jackson to the court and to our common calling.
Many years ago, there was a man named John Lovitz.
Yeah.
And he did a routine called The Liar.
Yeah, that's a ticket.
Hey, welcome in to the Mark Cox Morning Show. It's a Friday. It's the first day of July.
Rabbit.
Heading into the July 4th holiday weekend. We got the Fair St. Louis happening the next couple of days here downtown. So that should be fun, right? Some fireworks at night. You guys coming down for the Scott, coming down for the fireworks?
I'm going to be in a place where I can see them all across the city.
Nice. I wonder if Susan Thomas. Sue, you on here with us this morning? What's Susan doing? Is she in there?
What do you need?
Hey, how are you? What are you doing? What do you need? I need help. It's Friday.
What's up?
Are you going to Fair the VP Fair this weekend?
Fair St. Louis.
I don't know. We haven't talked about it. But I know that Metrolink is doing a $5 special, so you can just park somewhere and take it and ride Metrolink endlessly for $5.
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea. My least favorite part is parking, and I do love fireworks under the arch.
Yeah, very true. Of course, we have a little bit of an advantage here because if you parked here at the building, it's just a couple of blocks away now to get to Keener Plaza since they've kind of moved things this year. I don't know. I jokingly called it the VP Fair. That was just a nod to Ellie Kemper and Trudy Bush Valentine, a former queens of what is it, beauty and mystery, or
love and beauty?
Oh, love and beauty.
Former
queens of love and beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've taken a bit of heat over that and had to apologize for it.
Last year, I came down here with one Mr.
How about old Fred Bottenheimer over there, ladies and gentlemen?
Oh, well, you are a fortunate individual, Carl. You're bragging now.
Fred and I watched down at Keener Plaza, and it was great because we were going to watch on the top floor of our parking garage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The buildings are in the way, and you can
yes, that's
see
a problem.
That's true.
That.
Yeah,
okay.
But you can get to the top of the building here, can't
there
you?
There was a private party going on that Fred and I tried to crash,
and they didn't let you crash.
They did
Fred?
Not let us crash.
Yeah, that's
right.
Yeah,
I'm with Fred Bottenheimer.
Yeah,
exactly.
My old Fred Bottenheimer there. That's good stuff. All right, appreciate that, Sue. Yeah, it's a big weekend. Hopefully, you got some plans. Going to be pretty laid back for us, just coming back off vacation, probably the same for you, Carl.
Yes, that's why I came back today, so I could come back and do one work and then have a 4-day weekend.
Have a long weekend, right?
Oh, nice.
And then your birthday,
smart.
Mark's birthday is on Tuesday.
What do you mean a 4-day weekend? You got a time off we don't know about?
I'm
just
not,
Monday, Tuesday,
your
just Saturday,
birthday,
I'm counting
Monday,
your
right?
birthday as a holiday, Mark.
Yeah, but I'm working that day. That's not doing me any good.
So
I'm having to work on my birthday. Well, manual labor there, don't you think? That's good.
Most of us work on our birthday.
Thank you.
Throw that
I know.
We're not
I know.
Children.
But last year, see that sometimes I get saved by the holiday because last year the 5th was a holiday. It was counted as part of the holiday. And this year it's not because it's pushed further into the week on a Tuesday. So I'm out of luck. So I'll be here on my birthday next Tuesday. I'll be looking forward to that. But anyway, whatever your plans are this weekend, good luck to you. By the way, we've got Tommy Pickett coming up. He's one of the rapid response directors with the GOP, and there's a lot to respond to. Yesterday, the president basically suggested, as you heard there in the short list, that he now wants to get rid of the filibuster because of the Roe v. Wade decision being overturned in the United States Supreme Court. Now it's okay. Now I believe Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema are going to save us on this, but now suddenly it's okay. But remember, back when Joe Biden still had all of his marbles, it wasn't all that long ago, right? When he sounded like a completely different person when you listened to him speak. Go to cut one just to remind the people of what Joe Biden used to think about the filibuster, Carl.
Should they end the legislative filibuster if that's what's needed to pass gun reform?
I think we have to make that call on the fly. Ending the filibuster is a very dangerous thing to do because it's been used by progressives our whole time to make sure that we did not get rolled over.
So there was a time when Joe Biden completely supported the filibuster, but now he sees the need for some short-term victory to try to get him some help coming up for the polls in November. And now he thinks suddenly it's okay to get rid of the filibuster. I don't think Joe Manchin goes along with that. We'll see. But there was another big victory yesterday for people who support common sense. The court rolled this out, dealing with the Green New Deal and going back to 2007 and 8 when Barack Obama was trying to do everything through administrative fiat, through the EPA, through the bureaucrats at the EPA, making major changes to energy policy. And yesterday, we finally got to the end of that with the Supreme Court saying, just slapping them down. No, you can't do that. If Congress wants to take this action, let them do it. If they don't, you can't have unelected bureaucrats making government policy like that that affects entire industries. It's ridiculous. We'll talk to Tommy Pigott about that coming up at around, when we come back from the break here in just a couple of minutes. Then we got in other news with Scott. We will talk to Jennifer Koshinka as well because the markets ended just a horrible first half of the year yesterday. We'll find out what's going on with that this morning. Coming up right here on the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
America's better positioned to lead the world than we ever have been. We have the strongest economy in the world. Our inflation rates are lower than other nations in the world. The one thing that has been destabilizing is the outrageous behavior of the Supreme Court of the United States in overruling not only Roe v. Wade, but essentially challenging the right to privacy.
I'm sorry, how embarrassing that the leader of the free world goes to Europe and criticizes the Supreme Court of the United States and calls their decision destabilizing? What exactly did they destabilize? Wow. Tommy Pigott is with us right now, RNC Rapid Response Director. Tommy, what do you even say to something like that?
I mean, I was shocked when I heard it. I mean, talk about a president who, you know, ran on unity, completely abandoning that promise yet again to go overseas and attack one of the three branches of government, one of our most important institutions. And then even to claim that the first part of that sentence, that our economy is robust when our economy is actually shrinking. I mean, I don't even know what he's talking about. And to say the Supreme Court is what's destabilizing, it's so detached from reality and not only damaging to our credibility around the world.
Well, I could not agree more with that. Now he's talking about suddenly we have to do away with the filibuster. Because we've got to codify Roe and whatever it takes, suddenly he thinks we need to get rid of the filibuster. Now, I played the bite a minute ago going into the break from him back in 2019. Go to cut one, Carl, please.
Should they end the legislative filibuster if that's what's needed to pass gun reform?
I think we have to make that call on the fly. Ending the filibuster is a very dangerous thing to do because it's been used by progressives our whole time to make sure that we did not get rolled over.
So clearly, whatever principles Joe Biden had at some point in his career, he's throwing all that out the window now, or the people controlling him are throwing it out the window.
Well, it's clear, and I think it's been clear from the start of his presidency, is that Joe Biden is just not a principled man, which sounds mean, but it's just he proves it time and time again. Back in 2005, he said that eliminating the filibuster would be a power grab, an arrogance of power. So he really doesn't care about what he said in the past. And it wasn't just Joe Biden either, by the way. It was Democrats up and down the ballot across the Senate for decades. Chuck Schumer said eliminating the filibuster would be the doomsday for democracy. The doomsday for democracy.
And wow.
I kind of find it shocking that what are they willing to bring about the doomsday for democracy, which is, again, is their word, is a bill that would force late-term abortion on the states. That's what they're willing to eliminate the filibuster for. I think it's a really dangerous piece of legislation, even beyond the fact that eliminating the filibuster would do great damage to the Senate, and even Democrats have said so.
You know, Joe Manchin, it sounds like, and Kristen Sinema aren't going to go along with that. I mean, there's a little – I don't want to hang my hat on Joe Manchin or Kristen Sinema long term, but in the short term, they've kind of saved our bacon here.
Well, hopefully they'll continue to oppose eliminating the filibuster. Hopefully they'll continue to say, hey, we don't want to abandon what we've been saying for decades, like every other Democrat seems to do. I think, though, to your point about not wanting to rely long term, I think we need Republicans to win back that majority. I mean, we can't be hoping every single time Democrats want to do something as dangerous and far left as this, that we rely on two Democratic senators to stop them. We need Republicans in there 100% to stop this.
Tommy Pigott, my guest, RNC Rapid Response Director. Yesterday morning on this program, I interviewed a guy named John Wood. John has announced he's going to run for the Missouri Senate seat as an independent. He claims he's a Republican. He told me yesterday he's a conservative Republican, but he doesn't like the direction the conservatives who are running as Republicans in Missouri are taking. So he and John Danforth have cooked up an idea for him to run as an independent. The Senate's on the line here. I mean, has the RNC taken a position on whether or not this independent challenge by a Republican is in the best interest of the party here in Missouri?
Well, this is the first I'm hearing of this specific candidate, but what I will say is once there's a Republican nominee, we have to unite around that Republican nominee. We can't be having people running as independents. That will divide the vote. That will only elect Democrats. And the stakes are just too high. Even with just this abortion legislation, like I said, it's not just forcing late-term abortions on the state. They want to eviscerate parental notification laws for minors that want to have abortions. They want to eviscerate health and safety protections in abortion facilities that are supported by 70, 80% of the American people. And it's not just on abortion either. It's on immigration. It's on the economy. It's on foreign policy. It's on corruption, the Biden family corruption, which has gone completely unreported and uninvestigated by Democrats. It's issue after issue where the Democrats have embraced the farthest extreme. And if we divide our votes, if we elect Democrats, we're going to see massive damage to this country that's going to take decades to unravel, if we're ever able to unravel it. That's how important this election is, and we must unite around Republican candidates and Republican nominees.
It is a great point, and I hope people are paying attention, because John Danforth's PAC announced he's going to spend $20 million on this independent candidate in this election cycle, which it does not seem like that's in the best interest of Republicans in any way, shape, or form. Listen, Tommy Pigott, I appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. GOP.com, the website there, and he's absolutely right. You got to unite around who the candidate is. And we don't know who that's going to be yet. We don't. One of the candidates, though, Mark McCloskey, is going to join us a little later in the hour. I'll get his thoughts on John Wood running as an independent in this race. Up next, we'll talk to Jennifer Kashinka. Yesterday, you may have heard there, Joe Biden said when he was overseas, the economy is doing really well. Do you feel that way? I don't know. I snapped a picture of an I did that sticker on the gas pump yesterday when it cost me $125 to fill my truck up, and I did not feel that way. We'll talk to Jennifer about what's happening in the stock market when we come back.
Marsha, Marsha, Marsha.
If you know, you know. Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. What did that sound like? What did that remind you of? Maybe something we heard from the president yesterday in, before he left Europe, that the Russia, Russia, Russia comment. Yeah, I don't know. We'll get back to more of that coming up here in the next hour. And we're going to talk to Katie Tubb, who is with Heritage. She's an expert in their energy and environmental area there at Heritage, talking about that Supreme Court decision yesterday dealing with the EPA and a sort of capping the power at the EPA, so to speak, in terms of how far they can go in restricting power, coal plant, burning power plants and the like. It's a pretty monumental decision, actually overturning some Obama-era policies. So we're going to get to more on that for you at around 7:15. Ryan Wiggins, Mark McCloskey coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Right now, let's get to business, please. Jennifer Kashinka, how are you?
Good.
I have to tell you, I don't know if I've told you this story or not, but many years ago, my friend who grew up in Sparta, New Jersey, which is a beautiful area, invited me up to go visit his hometown and to go to the beach and the Jersey Shore. And I'd never been there. I only had these images of this really industrialized area of New Jersey.
Yeah.
And you're getting ready to go vacation on the Jersey Shore. And for people that have never been there, it is quaint, beautiful. I mean, it just blows your mind. It's great.
We get a bad rap here in Jersey.
Honestly.
Because of Snooki?
All the time. Oh, well, gosh, please. Well, they're from New York anyway, so
thank
stop.
You. Yeah, this predated all of the Jersey stuff.
The MTV stuff.
The MTV stuff. But yeah. It's just a beautiful place, and I'm glad you're getting to go spend some time down there.
Thank you.
Good
Thank
for you. So you. We'll talk you. To Dom next week when he's in. Now, what's going on in business?
All right, futures edging lower as worries about slowing economic growth continue to suppress investors' risk appetite. Global markets have closed out their most bruising first half of a year in decades. Accelerating inflation and rising interest rates fueled a months-long rout that left few markets unscathed. The S&P 500 fell 21% through Thursday, suffering its worst first half of a year since 1970. Investment-grade bonds lost 11%, posting their worst start to a year in history. And cryptocurrencies came crashing down, saddling individual investors and hedge funds with steep losses. The retail hiring crunch appears to be easing. Whole Foods says it's easier to find workers. Turnover at Chipotle has stabilized after ticking up last year. And Grubhub says it's having no problem attracting drivers. Several executives speaking about the labor market at a Wall Street Journal Food Forum said they're seeing some early signs that labor pressures are easing for entry-level positions. A historic housing shortage brought on by the 1-2 punch of slow construction and strong pandemic-induced demand is finally starting to ease. Active listings for homes jumped 19% in June, the fastest annual pace since Realtor.com began tracking the metric 5 years ago. And the number of new listings during the month finally surpassed typical pre-COVID levels, up 4.5% from a year ago. Some markets that saw the biggest surges in demand during the pandemic, now among those seeing the biggest gains in supply. Austin inventory up 145% from a year ago. Phoenix up 113%, but Chicago is down 13%. Tesla may be the EV king right now, but here come Ford and GM. Bank of America says Tesla's share of the market will plummet over the next 4 years as Detroit ramps up what the bank calls new and excellent EVs. Tesla has held about a 70% share of the EV market in recent years, but analysts say that will drop to 11% over the next 4 years. The FDA says the next round of COVID booster shots should be modified to target the extremely contagious Omicron subvariants BA4 and BA5. The FDA has asked Pfizer and Moderna to develop vaccines designed to target the original coronavirus strain as well as the subvariants. Health regulators hope the updated vaccines will be available for an anticipated October booster campaign. The Wall Street Journal says the FDA is devising plans to allow clinical trials testing the transplantation of pig organs in humans. If the agency follows through, the trials could be a key step in an effort to ease the deadly shortage of human donor organs. The planning comes in the wake of a handful of experimental surgeries involving the transplantation of pig organs into a critically ill man and in brain-dead patients. It's uncertain when the trials would begin. Proposals from researchers would be handled case by case. And in another surprising and seismic shift in college athletics, the Big Ten has voted to add USC and UCLA as conference members beginning in 2024. The expansion to 16 teams will happen after the Pac-12's current media rights contract with Fox and ESPN expire, and make the Big Ten the first conference to stretch from the Atlantic to the Pacific. The announcement, which caught the Pac-12 off guard, came almost a year after Oklahoma and Texas formally accepted invitations to join the SEC. Mark?
Wow. I know. The SEC, I mean, I'm obviously more familiar with the SEC than the Pac-12, but those are two storied programs that are suddenly going to be playing a lot of East Coast time zone games. That's going to be huge for them.
Yes, it's a little bit wacky these days.
No kidding. Well, Jen, listen, have a great 4th of July holiday weekend.
Thank you. You too.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Jennifer Koshinka there updating us on business and what's going to happen. Probably, you know, hopefully things end with a whimper today, not a bang as we head into the July 4th holiday weekend. But we need some relief in the stock market. What happens next? We got to get our friend Charles Payne back on here from Fox. He's been busy lately. We haven't had a chance to get him on. And I did want to mention this because occasionally I'll get a comment on the Facebook page or something on it about Todd Pyro. Todd Pyro is still a regularly scheduled guest on this program from Fox News First. But he's just had a second child, and therefore had the dad duties have kicked in, and he's been off the air up there for Fox and staying at home with his kid. So as soon as he's back to work, we'll put him back to work. I just wanted people to know because a few people have asked me about that over the over the last couple of weeks.
But congratulations, Todd.
Todd is still with us, and we want to congratulate him on that. So that's good stuff.
The first week he was supposed to be off, he was back on the air because she was not.
Yeah.
She didn't have it yet.
It was a false alarm. I guess they finally scheduled it at some point, I believe. I don't want to talk out of turn.
They have had the child.
But they have had the baby now. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk to him more about that when we get him back on the air. Congratulations to him. Coming up, we will get to In Other News with Scott. And then we got Katie Tubb from Heritage on this EPA decision yesterday, which was huge. This is going to be huge. We will celebrate the death of the Green New Deal coming up here shortly at about 7:15. And we'll talk to Mark McCloskey at 8:20, get his thoughts on an independent now dipping his toe in the Senate race in Missouri. We'll be right back.
Happening.
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news, brought to you by Scott.
Good intro there. Poison frontman Bret Michaels was rushed to the hospital last night. Just before he was set to go on stage in Nashville, the band had to cancel its performance. Poison's on tour with Def Leppard, Motley Crue, and Joan Jett. Apparently, Michaels will be okay, but he had a brain hemorrhage about a decade ago. And that tour, by the way, is coming to Busch Stadium on Tuesday.
Wow.
Yep.
You got to wonder. He's 59 years old, so maybe it was just heat or something. Maybe he'll.
They said it was a bad reaction to some medication he was on.
Oh. Mm. Yeah, what kind of medication? Like, as in prescribed medication or some other medication?
I think so, because he does have some health problems.
Yeah,
so.
That's true.
So he probably is on some medication that could go awry.
Wow, that is Tuesday?
Yeah, your birthday present.
No
yeah.
kidding. Oh, did you get that for me? Thank you, Carl.
Motley Crue, Poison.
Oh, I would love to see that.
Joan Jett.
Joan Jett. Def Leppard.
May have to see if there's any more tickets floating around out there, huh?
Well, there was quite a lineup at Hyde Park in London. Elton John, The Stones, Pearl Jam, Duran Duran, Grace Jones, and the Eagles.
No, wow. No, hold on. It's just Eagles.
Oh,
Don we're not allowed to say
the
anymore.
The.
Yeah, no, Don Henley's a jerk, but it's Eagles, and
okay,
there was a fight during Eagles.
That's the story. So while
Tom
Eagles
Cruise was there, by the way,
huh?
Tom Cruise was filmed dancing there.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, it was awful.
Yeah, a brawl broke out in the crowd while Glenn Frey's son Deacon Frey was singing, and he just kept going. And the show, you know, had to go on. At the song he was singing, though, while this fight broke out was Take It Easy.
Nice.
It was also in the VIP section where they had to pay an extra $500.
Wait a minute. And Tom Cruise was dancing?
No.
I'm very confused.
Tom Cruise was in a box, but the VIP section was where the fight broke out.
Oh, okay.
Weird.
Yeah.
The whole thing is weird.
The FCC has asked Apple and Google to take down TikTok from their app stores. The agency is worried about China-related data security. The video app, of course, owned by the Chinese company ByteDance. An FCC commissioner says TikTok isn't just an app for sharing funny videos or memes. That's the sheep's clothing. At its core, he says TikTok functions as a sophisticated surveillance tool.
Didn't Donald Trump say that?
It's a Trojan horse. Trump pointed this out a long time ago, but not just Trump. You know the India, the country of India, banned TikTok a long time ago. They got 1 billion people. This is a big deal because they realize they're using it to mine data, personal data of people, and build profiles on them.
Facebook does the same thing.
Well, it's not just for business. They're thinking there may be, other
espionage?
Other goals. Yeah, potentially.
Of teenagers
hacking
throughout the world. I mean, I don't get like what serious.
Sue, do you have TikTok?
No,
but my wife does. Yeah. And my older daughter does. I mean, these aren't teenagers. These are people that have bank accounts. And I think there's a reason people should be concerned about this.
Well, I get that. But what information truly are they putting on that website? They're not putting their bank account information. Are they putting any
kind
of serious...
I don't know. I don't have it. I don't know if you have to build a... Do you have to build a profile when you sign up for it? Do you have to give them... Do you have to agree to give up certain information?
Well, I'm
I just
not
don't
saying
know.
That it's not happening, and I get the concern. I'm just wondering,
but it's mostly
really,
kids.
Exactly, what really is available to them? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm mostly worried about what I don't. I'm not on TikTok either, but I've seen videos just by perusing the web, and like Patrick Mahomes' brother dancing.
That's what I mean. So I'm not offensive. Sure that's gonna be the downfall.
Hey,
of us.
I don't care what the security risks are. I want to see dancing squirrels.
Well, you might have heard I was just in Canada, and today's Canada Day, by the way. That's their 4th of July.
Eh?
But Canada and TikTok, they want TikTok to promote more Canadian things. So, because that's what they do with their music. Their radio stations have to play like 40% Canadian music, not just American music.
That's unfortunate.
Thank God for the Constitution of the United States. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, you pointed out it's Canada Day. It's also International Joke Telling Day. So if you can remember any jokes, I never can, dust them off.
Create, told us beforehand, Scott.
Creative Ice Cream Flavor Day. It's Drive Your Corvette to Work Day. It is Blink 182 Day.
How did I not know that? I would have driven my Corvette. No, I don't drive my Corvette downtown, just to be safe.
You're in a garage. You'd have been fine.
It's also National Deep Fried Clams Day. I mean,
Well, it's also a 30-some-year-old car, and I don't want to risk it breaking down on the way down here. So it's just safer to leave it in the garage most of the time. Hey, coming up, we'll talk to Katie Tubb with Heritage about the EPA ruling by the Supreme Court and how it might affect your heating and cooling bills. It's all coming up on the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Get more at 971talk.com. Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.